Summa Up is next-gen body optimization from an actual doctor that's guaranteed to get you in the best shape of your life in 90 days. You'll be at peak levels for each of the fundamentals that drive your strength, energy, and even your longevity. It's a lifelong difference you'll see in the mirror, but also feel throughout your entire day. Summa Up puts more living in life. For full details on this transformative program designed for the demanding lives of today's highest achieving entrepreneurs and CEOs, visit www.startsumo.com.
Just giving a basic overview of why nanoplastics are so harmful. They're found all over in water, the air. Microplastics have been found in IV bags. For today's weekly live stream, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about microplastics, really what they are, where you can find them, why they are a concern for your health, and basically how you can avoid exposure to them, what exactly microplastics are. Well, microplastics are primarily just small particles of plastic. What exactly is a plastic? Well, plastics are basically just polymers. They're just combinations of large molecules composed of many different repeating subunits. Here's a good diagram of some common household plastics, right? And as you can see, what a polymer is it's like a repeating subunit of like carbon and hydrogen. And there are different type of plastics where polyethylene is just this repeating subunit. It's carbon and hydrogen bonds. And then polypropylene has a carbon and three hydrogen atoms there. And polyvinyl chloride has a chlorine atom associated with it. And then there are much more complicated ones, which have multiple fluorine atoms. And as you can see, nylon is a really complicated subunit here with multiple valence oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, carbon, and hydrogen atoms. And so basically, it's just a repeating subunit of this. And these are obviously very useful. They're used in many different products that we use today. But the issue is that in addition to being very durable and useful and easy to produce and fairly inexpensive to produce, they don't break down. And this is causing a lot of issues. Number one, because of the fact that our usage of plastics has increased so dramatically. You can kind of see this right here. This is a graph that kind of looks at all of the usage of plastics in metric tons from 1950 when we initially started to use plastics to the present. And we've gone from maybe 2 million tons to over 459.75 million tons, almost 460 million tons, which is incredible. They're starting to be found everywhere. One of the things that's kind of interesting is it's starting to be an issue throughout many different disciplines, even like geology. So we're starting to find plastics in the fossil record. So here is a dried up river bed that's found in Spain, but they're noticing this all over Europe, where because of flooding, you can kind of see plastics being deposited in the fossil record. There are several geologists, archaeologists that think that this is going to be for, you know, future generations, you know, an indicator of modern humans, because you'll start to see these lines in the fossil record, like, okay, well, at this time period, we know that modern humans existed. All right, well, that's all nice and well, but why is it harmful for us from a health standpoint? Well, so we talked about plastics, and to further define microplastics, well, microplastics really are just small particles of plastics that are broken down over time. Typically, they're between 1 micrometer to 5 millimeters, very, very small amounts, right? And being plastic, they're insoluble in water. And they're primarily found through weathering down and transformation processes. So obviously, if you have a plastic bottle and it's broken down, cracked, and weathered down by sunlight and the elements, over time, it will break down into smaller and smaller pieces of plastic. Photooxidation is the process in which sunlight hits plastics can break them down as well. And so you end up with, you know, close to 460 million tons of plastics being closely broken down into these tiny, tiny amounts. And the issue with these microplastics is they're ubiquitous. They're everywhere. The problem with them in general is that there is a lot of research suggesting that microplastics can affect your health. There are many articles suggesting they have effects on our nervous system, respiratory system, kidney, excretion systems. They're found in the placenta, and they've been linked to many skin disorders as well. Here are some articles suggesting some of the issues that we're starting to see with microplastics. Here's an article looking at microplastics in cerebral and epithelial human cells and how they result in oxidative stress, which of course will result in cell death long term. Here's another article looking at some of the pathophysiological changes in rodents, rabbits, and chickens. And they've demonstrated that they can breach the intestinal barrier. They can accumulate in many different organs impacting function. They tend to change the gut microbiome, decrease mucus secretion. Mucus is very important. It has carries white blood cells. It can actually trap pathogens. Decreasing, it's not a good thing. And then it can cause neurotoxicity because apparently it can change neurotransmitter release. One particular additive to plastics, which is found pretty highly in these microplastic compounds, is bisphenol A. And this is actually an additive to plastics. It's used to make them harder. Many times you'll find BPA in bottles or tanks or tableware. And this has been known for some time to cause endocrine effects. In particular, it seems to affect reproduction. It affects both male and female reproduction. In males, it appears to affect sperm production as well as sperm quality. Whereas females, it seems to affect the ovary and embryo development as well as the quality of the gamete, the combination of the sperm and the egg. So that would be clearly very important if you're involved in in vitro fertilization, but obviously it's very important if you're trying to have a baby the natural way, in vivo. Clearly, this is becoming a large issue. In addition to causing direct effects on the cell systems that are exposed to microplastics, they are readily absorbed in the bloodstream, as well as translocated to organs, which over time can link to organ-based issues. There's some concern that it can be linked to liver disease, kidney disease, a wide variety of cancers as well. And the idea basically is this, right? So again, the microplastics emanate from many different areas, primarily, of course, from actual plastics. But the issue with this is when plastics are broken down, they are very tiny, so they can evaporate and they can go in the air. It's not just us that are exposed, humans that are exposed to micro and nanoplastics. There are many different species, of course, that inhabit the earth. And they, of course, are also exposed to micro and nanoplastics, and we consume some of these. So we may be inadvertently eating a lot of these in our food. This was just kind of a graphic, just giving a basic overview of why micro and nanoplastics are so harmful. And as I was mentioning, they're found all over in water, the air, food, and actually in treatments, because microplastics have been found in IV bags, unfortunately. And as I mentioned, they are directly reactive with cells. The key issue is they cause membrane damage and oxidative stress. So I keep going back to oxidative stress. This is really a situation in which you add electrons to molecules and make them highly reactive, and they in turn can affect structures within the cell, both the membrane, but the nucleus, the mitochondria, ribosomes, and essentially cause cell death. So this is definitely not a good thing. It's a given that these things are bad for us, but what can we do to avoid exposure? The easiest thing to do is really just avoid using plastics themselves. It's hard to perhaps avoid exposure in the air or in that case, our food, because unfortunately seafood isn't really tested for microplastics yet. But what we can do is avoid using a lot of plastic containers. So first things first, I would suggest maybe taking a hard look at bottled water. There is some linkage to phthalates, which is another compound that's found in plastics, microplastics, even BPA in water bottles. So if you can, try to use a filter with tap water and utilize stainless steel bottles or glass bottles, as I mentioned, versus plastic bottles. It's probably not a good idea to use disposable cups exclusively. I mean, I understand the need if you absolutely have to, just because even though most cups or many cups are paper, right? The inner lining of them many times consists of polyethylene, which is a plastic, right? And this is definitely not a good idea if you plan to put hot liquids in that cup, because that has a potential for releasing polyethylene into the liquid that you're drinking. Styrofoam has styrene, so that's another product I'd probably try to avoid. So again, try to use glass or metal containers whenever possible versus plastic. Another thing to do is never heat your food in plastic containers and really try to avoid dishwashing plastic containers. Why? Well, it does appear that when you heat plastics, you're more likely to release some of the contaminants within them or even break off pieces of plastic. There is release of volatile compounds from plastic containers when you microwave them. So even the containers that are deemed microwave safe, there is the potential that compounds may be released into the food that you're eating. And compounds like methylbenzene, monoctene, xylene, styrene, 1,4-dichlorobenzene, these are all additives to plastics, definitely can release into the food and are definitely something that you have to be aware of. So it would probably be a good idea to try to not use plastic containers when you're microwaving food. Another thing that may not be a good idea is to use microwavable foods for your, well, just in general, like Lean Cuisine. I remember when I was younger, Lean Cuisine was all the rage. It was a really, really popular source of food for people that were on a diet trying to lean up. But the reality is those type of foods, microwavable or frozen foods, where you just stick in the microwave in a tray, are very unhealthy. There's actually a recall on Lean Cuisine foods because they actually contained, it wasn't just microplastics, they contained macroplastics. So this is kind of crazy, and I think this happened back in 2020. Several different frozen meals were recalled because apparently a portion of the conveyor belt broke and was bound within the foodstuff. So that's kind of a pretty exaggerated example. Many of these types of foods, these frozen foods that you just stick in the microwave and they're convenient and they're easy, there's a pretty high likelihood they're going to contain microplastics, particularly if you're warming them up in the microwave for several minutes. So probably avoid these if you can. The other thing that you can consider avoiding would be avoiding products with microbeads. So most of the microplastics that we encounter are really due to degradation of plastic products that are in the environment. But there are some microplastics that we encounter that are man-made, and those would be products with microbeads. So these used to be really popular in the mid to late 2000s. There were like these facial cleansers and toothpaste with cleaning microbeads, which are really just microplastics. And the idea was that you could put it in there and it'd be a gritty surface and you'd be able to remove a plaque if you're brushing your teeth. The reality is that they're extremely unhealthy and they're actually banned in the US in 2015, but they still are found in several products here because they're not banned worldwide. Many products are imported. They are banned in food, but they are still utilized in cosmetics. So that's just something to consider. So for the most part, the main things to remember are this: microplastics are everywhere, unfortunately, but there are certain things that you can do to reduce your exposure to them. The key things would be try to avoid utilizing plastic containers, avoid drinking water, bottled water if you can, utilize glass or steel bottles whenever possible. Don't heat food in plastic containers and try to avoid the microwavable foods. And then if you are going to use disposable cups, try to limit use of those and really try to not drink hot liquids in those disposable cups.